So, this is our class on Pesach. And what we want to do today is understand one aspect of what happened on Pesach, one aspect of what happened when we became the nation of Hashem. What does it mean? Yesterday in the Parsha class, we spoke about Parashat HaChodesh, and we brought one understanding of what Pesach is all about. We said that when we became a nation, we changed in terms of the understanding of time and the way we refer to it from all other nations. While for all other nations, time means a continuity of the past, by us, time means preparation for the future. Every moment of life is a preparation, a new preparation for what will happen in the future. And that's why it's defined like new life. And that's the only new things that exist in this world. Today, we want to understand another aspect of what does it mean we are the nation of Hashem? What happened when we came out of Mitzrayim? When Hashem created the world, it didn't only create a reality that includes creatures on many different levels, inanimate things, plantations, plants, animals, human beings, but he also ensured that all of them will exist and they will have whatever is necessary in order to sustain themselves and be there as long as the world is in existence. There is really a chapter in Psalms, chapter 148, where we say via the words of King David this concept. The chapter says, "Praise Hashem." And King David calls different creatures to praise Hashem, heaven, stars, and so on. Different things that were created are called to thank Hashem. Why? So he says, because he commanded, and this is what created them. And he gave them existence forever. There are laws of nature that ensure it, and it will never be changed. And in fact, it's maybe the greatest praise that we can give Hashem when we watch reality. It is expressed by King David in one pasuk that we say every day, more than one time, in Ashrei, the Psalms of Tehillim that we repeat a few times during the day. And it's written there, Poteach et yadecha umasbia lechol chai ratzon. Hashem opens up his hand and he sustains everybody with his will. It's so essential, this sentence, that if we said all of the chapters of praise, of song that King David wrote that are part of the morning prayer, we did not fulfill our obligation unless we say this phrase with intention, when we concentrate on it and we know what is it that we say. Hashem opens up his hand and sustains, provides for everybody. And it's really a wonderful thing. The more we think about it, the more overwhelming is this idea. And I just want to give one small little example that will lead us towards the continuation of what we want to say today. We know that we need oxygen for our existence. Animals need oxygen for their existence. Where is the oxygen provided for? Right? In this framework of the natural world, where do we get oxygen from? Plants inhale CO2 and exhale oxygen. And this is what provides us with oxygen. By us, it's the other way around. We inhale oxygen and exhale CO2. And it's very interesting. The number of people, the number of plants is not always equal. It's not always maintain the same numbers that was in creation. Sometimes there are more people than plants, and sometimes more plants than people. Still, the balance is always there, and we have everything that we need. We never had a shortage of oxygen. One small little example for endless examples that indicate to us that Hashem doesn't only didn't only create the world, but he sustains it on an ongoing basis. In fact, when Abraham looked at creation and was bewildered, right? What is it all about to create it and so on? What he saw more than anything was the fact that Hashem really was that whoever created this world, at the time he didn't know Hashem, right, when he started this search, but he did notice that somebody provides for everybody. Everything that was created continues to exist, and there must be a provider that takes care of it. And we say it really, again, in another chapter of Psalms, we say, Ki leolam chasdo, the kindness of Hashem is forever, is constantly giving and providing and sustaining to everything and anything that was created from the inanimate till the human being. Now, this attribute of Hashem that Abraham saw brought him to recognize Hashem, but it brought him further too. And I want to read a pasuk from the Torah that tells us something about what Abraham learned by looking into creation, even though the Torah does not say that he looked into creation and saw it, but it's obvious from the pasuk. And it indicates to us that this was essential in who Abraham became and in who we are till today. So it's before Hashem is going to destroy Sodom that Hashem says, I am not going to do it without telling Abraham. The Torah tells us, it's chapter 18, verse number 17 in Bereshit. If you want to look it up, it's page 81, but it's short and I'll read and translate. The Torah says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said, Amechaseh ani me'Avraham, shall I conceal from Abraham what I do? I am going to destroy Sodom. Should I conceal it from Abraham? Shouldn't I tell him? I've told him about it. I'm going to do something, I have to tell him. And the Torah gives us a reason. Why? Why does Hashem have to say to Abraham what he's going to do? So the Torah said, Ve'Avraham surely to be Abraham is surely to become a great and mighty nation, meaning being that a great nation is going to come out of Abraham, I have to tell him. And why? Why, if he's going to become a big nation will come out of him, do I have to tell him what I'm going to do with Sodom? Says the Torah, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him, meaning he is the role model for all nations. But that's not yet it. The next pasuk says, for I have loved him, Hashem says, I love Abraham. And why do I love him? Because he commands his children and his household after him that they keep the way of Hashem, doing charity and justice, in order that Hashem might then bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken to him. So here the Torah adds a very profound and fundamental idea. The Torah says as follows. Hashem says, I have to tell Abraham what I'm going to do. A, because he is a role model for all nations. All nations bless themselves to be like him, meaning he's the chosen, he's different, he's unique, he's above, to the extent that everybody wants to be like him. In other words, I chose him, he's different. And I loved him because, and that's the part I'm going to discuss, he commands his children and his household after him to do something. That's the reason for the love. Abraham is commending his children something, the generations after him something. What does he commend them? That they keep the way of Hashem. It's not only that they will do the way of Hashem, that they will do the, fulfill the mitzvot, the commandments of Hashem, do the will of Hashem. This is not what's written here. What's written here is something else. There is something called the way of Hashem, and Abraham will tell his children to keep it. We'll have to define what is this way of Hashem that Abraham is going to command his children, and because of it, Hashem loves him. To the extent that he's not going to do something major in this world without revealing it to him. He cannot conceal from him. So the Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem, is the key. What is it? The Torah says, doing charity and justice. Okay, the way of Hashem includes in it doing charity and justice in order, and doing so, being that Abraham is going to tell his children to do the way of Hashem, whatever it is, the way that includes justice and charity. As a result of it, in order that Hashem might then bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken to him. If I am going, says Hashem, to be able to do what I've spoken to Abraham, of Abraham, I have a vision for Abraham, a certain vision. And I love him because he's telling his children what to do in order that I will fulfill my vision that I have, what I want to do of Abraham. It's a very profound pasuk. Now let's say it in our words. Hashem says, I love Abraham to the extent that I must reveal to him what I'm going to do in this way. And there are two reasons given. One referring to other nations is a source of blessing. Everybody wants to be like, to be blessed like him among the nations. That's one aspect. And then, because of what he teaches his children, and what is he going to teach his children? He's going to teach his children to do what is called the way of Hashem. It includes doing charity and justice. And doing so, the fact that Abraham is going to transmit this message to his children will be able, says Hashem, will make me able, will enable me to fulfill what I want Abraham to be, whatever is my vision for Abraham. So very interesting. Abraham is put here as a father, right? And Hashem says, I love him because he will be a father to a nation that will come. And what will be the specialty of this nation? What makes Abraham the father of the nation? Why do we call Abraham an Av? We know we have Shlosha Avot, three patriarchs, forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What gives Abraham the name father? In what way are we his children? Meaning, in other words, what makes us the nation that follows Abraham and came out of him? Why do we say Abraham is our father? Because he taught us to do the way of Hashem, and we do it. So the key here is, what is the way of Hashem? It's not written that the key is that we keep the mitzvot, that we learn Torah. Of course, we have to do all of it. But this is not what makes Abraham the father. What makes Abraham the father of the Jewish nation, what causes Hashem to love him to the extent that he's going to reveal to him what will happen to Sodom, is the fact that he himself follows in the way of Hashem and he teaches it his children. So what did we say? We said Hashem provides for everybody. That's most probably is the most obvious thing that we can see about the ways of Hashem, about Hashem by looking at creation. When we look at creation and try to see What is it all about? We see a reality that is constantly provided, a creator who created and provides, who is a giver, who is giving to those he created, who is a God of kindness, a God of charity, a God who gives. Right? When Abraham saw it, he started to be a giver. He started to be a giver. And seeing what Hashem does and doing the same is considered to go in the way of Hashem. There are ways that Hashem conducts himself in this world, reveals himself to us in this world. When we imitate what he does, when we follow in his, so to speak, footsteps, when we see what he does and emulate what he does, then it means that we go in the way of Hashem. I want to read to you the source for it in the Rambam. Okay. The Rambam, when he teaches us about midot, the ways we should conduct ourselves in this world, character traits, development of character traits, and the ways of thinking, he says as follows. He speaks about a mitzvah, an obligation to emulate Hashem. Ve'halachta bidrachav. We have a special mitzvah. Ve'halachta bidrachav. You should emulate Hashem. So he explains it. He says as follows. That's what we learn in the explanation of this thing, right? Emulate Hashem, walk in his ways. And he says what is very famous, the same way that he is Hanun, that he gives without being paid for what he gives. He gives for free. Afatai Hanun, you also give to others without anticipation of getting back things. You should be a giver, unrelated to if other people will give you back or not. Mahu nikra rachum, the same way that we see in this world, that he's compassionate, that he has rachamim. Afatahi rachum, you should be a rachum too. You should be compassionate as well. You see that he is patient with us. He doesn't react to our deeds right away. He gives us time so we can correct whatever was wrong. Be so too. Don't be quick to react to things that were done against you. And so on. So whole list, the 13 attributes of Hashem. And he says, tell them, the Rambam. These names that we call Hashem, Hanun, Rachum, Erech Apayim, the 13 attributes, are the middle way. They teach us how to control and channel our character traits. We have opposite character traits in us. For example, we have generosity on one side, on one side, and stingency, the desire to keep for ourselves on the other hand. We have arrogance in us, we have humility. The question is, when do we use what and to what extent? Using it in the proper way, balancing it properly, is what we call the middle way, haderech habeinonit. We cannot be too generous. Giving to people who we shouldn't give is wrong, but we cannot also be stingy. We have to give to those that we should give. And finding the right balance, when to give and not to give, and both are needed at different times, that's called going in the middle way. And that's how Hashem conducts the world. When we look at how Hashem treats the world, we'll see it. And we have to follow it. This is what's called Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem. And he quotes and he says, this is what Abraham taught his children, as it's written in the Pasuk that we read, I love him because I know that he'll command his children, for he will command his children to follow in the ways of Hashem. Okay? So we see that what is called Derech Hashem, The way of Hashem means see what Hashem does, watch how Hashem conducts the world, and do the same thing. And doing it is what made Abraham a father to all generations, because he didn't just do it, he also commanded the future generations to follow in his ways. So, A, this makes Abraham a father. The fact that he teaches us the way of Hashem, that he teaches us to emulate Hashem, to see how he conducts the world and follow in his footsteps. And this is the reason Hashem loves him, right? And this makes him a father. And the question is, why, from all the things that Abraham did, this is what makes him a father? Why? It's not that he told us keep the mitzvot. As I said before, of course we have to keep mitzvot. He doesn't tell us just learn Torah. He tells us something else. Follow in the ways of Hashem. And this way of Hashem, the Derech Hashem, is what makes Abraham a father. And the question is, why, right? What's so unique and special in following in the ways of Hashem? Why is this what enables Hashem to fulfill his vision for Abraham and the Jewish people? Why is this so essential? So let's take an example of two people. One is Reuven, who is a very special person. And there is another person, Shimon, who looks at the behavior of Reuven and likes what he sees and decides to emulate him, gets a desire to emulate him, and he emulates him. And it comes to a point where he is really like Reuven. So we have Shimon, who is a very good person. We have, I'm sorry, Reuven, who is a very good person. We have Shimon, who wants to be like him, and he achieves the goal. After he achieves the goal, it seems superficially that the two of them are exactly the same. But there is some difference between the two of them. Because in addition to the fact that Shimon does everything that Reuven does and reach the level of perfection of Reuven, there is something that Shimon has that Reuven doesn't have. And this is the desire to emulate. Reuven is Reuven because he made the choices to be the way he is. But he doesn't have a desire to be like Shimon. Shimon brings himself to be like Reuven, and he has an addition, a desire to be like Reuven. Now let's take this example and see how does it work with the Jewish people emulating Hashem. So Hashem, of course, is perfection by definition. When we look around and discover the attributes of Hashem, and we desire to be like him, and we follow, like Abraham. Abraham saw the attributes of Hashem, the giving, ongoing giving, and it's very, very impressive, very, very admirable. So he decided to be a giver. And a lot is discussed about the giving of Abraham. To the extent that a human being can emulate Hashem, Abraham emulated the kindness of Hashem, the giving of Hashem. We all know the tent with four openings, the way he treated the angels, the fact that he planted a tree, how he brought people to Hashem via it, constant, constant acts of kindness. And he really became perfect in this attribute to the extent that a human being can. But not like in the examples that we gave about Reuven and Shimon. Abraham, in his relationship to Hashem, doesn't have any addition to what he sees by Hashem. Because the same way that Abraham desires to emulate Hashem, I'll say a statement that sounds strange, but we'll explain it. Hashem desires to emulate Abraham. Very interesting. So, in the beginning, Abraham didn't even know Hashem, but he discovered him. And he saw his kindness. He emulated him because he got a desire to do it. He reached the maximum and he's really like Hashem. Why? Because Hashem is not just kind and gives and provides and sustains, but he also desires to do it. Hashem desires to do it based on what we do, meaning he wants to emulate us. For example, Abraham gives to strangers, gives all the time. As a result of it, Hashem desires to give him. Meaning, the same way that Abraham emulates Hashem, as a result of his desire, Hashem, so to speak, emulates Abraham, and he has a desire to do so. Very, very interesting. So obviously, when Hashem wants to emulate Abraham, the same way that Abraham wants to emulate Hashem, the relationship that is created is a relationship of love. Because Hashem wants to emulate Abraham and give, and he watches what Abraham does, and as a result of what Abraham does, he gives. So to speak, Abraham looks at Hashem, Hashem looks at Abraham. And Hashem and Abraham do what they see by the other one. What a close relationship. It means Hashem watches Abraham constantly, sees what he does, and has a desire to emulate. Very interesting. This is something new that started with Abraham. For 26 generations, from first men till Noah, we have 10 generations. From Noah till Abraham, we have again 10 generations. So for 20 generations, plus Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, who is the son of Yaakov, Kehat, who is the son of Kehat, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kehat, Amram, and Moshe. Six more generations after Abraham, 26 generations, till the time that he came out of Mitzrayim, it was not like this. It started by Abraham, but it came to its peak and to the situation that continues till today at the time that he came out of Mitzrayim. What was in the first 26 generations from creation till Abraham? Hashem did not find people who were versed, almost just a few individuals, but in general, he did not find people that were worthy of Hashem looking at them and responding to their behavior in the way we just described by Abraham. He saw people who did it, some. We know that there were some righteous people, Noah, Shem, Metushelach, Hanoch. Before Abraham, there were some individuals who were righteous. But they did not teach it to their children after them and were not able to create a nation that will follow in this way. So for 26 generations, till the coming out of Mitzrayim, Hashem led this world based on his own decisions, unrelated to the behavior of people, meaning he had no desire to emulate the behavior of people. He just gave. He gave because he created a reality and he wanted it to exist. And even though most of the time in these 26 generations, creation did not deserve to exist, but being that Hashem saw the future and knew that eventually there will be an Abraham who will establish a Jewish nation, he waited. And for 26 generations, he just gave, unrelated to the behavior of people. Even when people misbehaved, he still gave them. There were times that the cup was filled with negativity. So Hashem destroyed people. The flood, the people of Sodom. There were times that he tried to make them worthy of such a relationship. He spoke to them. He warned them about things that will be in the future, punishment if they won't do the right thing. In many different ways, he tried to bring the people to make the right choices that will make them worthwhile of this type of relationship. But he doesn't interfere in the choices themselves that people make. And the people continue to be the way they were. So he just waited, and in those 26 generations, he just gave. Without trying to see what the people do and stopping it and destroying the world fully and completely when they don't. Even when he destroyed a lot at the time of the flood, he left 8 people that will ensure that reality will continue to exist and eventually will come to Abraham. These 26 generations are referred to in a chapter in Psalms that we say every Shabbat morning. Odu LaHashem ki tov ki leolam chasdo. Thank Hashem, praise Hashem because He is good, because His kindness is forever. And when we read these Psalms in Shabbat morning's prayer, we say it every Shabbat. We'll see that there are 26 statements there, referring to the 26 generations from creation till Abraham, where Hashem showed his kindness, ignored behaviors, and just provided. But the reason why Hashem continued doing it was not just because he just gives. He didn't create the world just to give, 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 regardless of what's going on. He created the world to have a relationship with people based on how they behave. So he was, so to speak, waiting for Abraham and was patient because he knew Abraham will come. And when Abraham came, this relationship of emulating, so to speak, each other, while Abraham emulates Hashem, and Hashem looks to his behavior and emulates it, started. And it came to a peak at the time that the Jewish people came out of Egypt. And that's the relationship till today. Now, this relationship is called in a way that we are all familiar with, but I think based on what we discussed, it's understood now on a deeper and more accurate way. We say Hashem treats us mida keneged mida. Hashem treats us the way we behave. Mida, measure against measure. He looks how we behave. What's the measure of each character trait that we use? When do we use it? How do we act? And he responds in the same way. It's not only that he responds, but he responds based on what we did. For example, we are kind Hashem gives us. When we are not kind, Hashem stops from giving. I'll give an example. In the year of Shemitah, every 7 years in the land of Israel, we keep 1 year Shemitah, what means we do not work for a year in the field. And the field becomes the property of everybody. Every Jew can come into our field, even animals. We cannot keep it guarded and closed up. They can come into our field and take as much as they need, not for business, but to go through the week, the same way we go to the grocery, right? And we buy vegetables and fruits. Everybody can come to our garden and whatever grows on its own, as a result, fruit trees. We don't plant them every year. Whatever there is, belongs to everybody. It's what is an act of giving, right? So when we give Shemitah, Hashem gives us a blessing. And when we did not keep Shemitah, after 70 times that we, at least parts of us, did not keep Shemitah properly, we went to exile. That's one of the reasons that the Torah gives for going to exile to Babylon. So it's measure against measure. And as we see, what I edit now is that it's not just when we give, Hashem gives. When we don't give, Hashem also doesn't give. Might be not right away. As I said, the Jewish people did not give Shemitah properly for 70 cycles. It's quite a long time. Hashem has patience and has time. But there must be a consequence that is measure against measure at some point, unless we do tshuva. Right? So if we look at these two realities, the reality till Abraham, Hashem gives regardless of what the people do. More than this, at the time that people don't do his will, he still provides. And it's ongoing, 26th generation. It was almost 2,500 years. Right? Long, long, long time. What started with Abraham, that Hashem emulates our behavior. So when we walk in his ways, when we emulate him, he emulates us. But if we don't, he doesn't. And we will ask ourselves what is better. It seems to us, on a superficial level, that what was in the 26 generations till Abraham, much better. I can do whatever I want and see what I get. Our sages describe the abundance that was before the flood. It's an unbelievable picture. People had to work their field once in 40 years, even for vegetables, flowers. Once in 40 years they worked and they got an abundance. They were very, very rich, very successful. Isn't it great? When we look what happens, what has been happening since Abraham till today to the Jewish people who have this special relationship with Hashem, our history is very, very difficult. Because Hashem gives us measure against measure. When we do the will of Hashem, we have times like King Solomon. At the time of King Solomon, King David, it was a wonderful time for the Jewish people. They had everything. The land of Israel produced fruits that we don't see today in size and quality. And not only. Our sages say gold and silver were like the prophet says gold and silver were like stones at the time of King Solomon. But for the majority of our history, we are in exile and we are going through very difficult times. So why, if we are the chosen nation, do we have such a difficult history while the other nations who definitely don't emulate the ways of Hashem, even today, right, get a lot. We say it really in the prayer of Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. We say, Eskara Elohim ve'maya. I remember the ways of Hashem, the judgment of Hashem, ve'ehemaya. I'm speaking in agony. Why? Biroti kol ir al tilav nuya. I see that all metropolitans all over the globe are built, successful, doing well. Ve'ira Elokim, and the city of Hashem, Yerushalayim, mushpelet ad she'ol tachtiya, is in a very, very difficult situation. Really, in comparison to the other cities, they are really at the ground. She'ol is a grave, right? They are like at the bottom of a grave in comparison. For how many hundreds of years was Jerusalem totally desolated? While Rome, Babylon, all those who persecuted us had a very good time. See, even Germany today, vis-a-vis the land of Israel, they have it much easier than us. We are in an ongoing threat of life while they are blossoming. But obviously, this relationship is the specialty of the Jewish people, and we are very proud of it. And go through it without looking at the other nations and saying, maybe they do better. No, we feel we do better, even though it's very hard at the moment. Why? I want to bring another saying of our sages that relates to the coming out of Egypt. The peak of the miracles of coming out of Egypt was the splitting of the Red Sea. There was a year of miracles from the moment that Moshe came to the Jewish people, telling them about the redemption. He performed miracles in front of the Jewish people, then in front of Pharaoh, and then the 10 plagues that were miraculous. But the peak was the splitting of the Red Sea. This was a miracle like no other. And as a result of it, the Jewish people said the song, the famous Shira, after they saw the Egyptians dead coming out of the sea. Our sages tell us that it was not just that we were saved miraculously via a wondrous miracle at the Red Sea, but the real essence of the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea was on the spiritual level. They say, and it's famous, that a simple maid at the splitting of the Red Sea saw more than Yechezkel at the time that Hashem revealed himself to him. Why do our sages compare what a simple Jewish maid saw at the time of the splitting of the Red Sea to the prophecy of Yechezkel? We had many prophets. What caused this Chazal to compare the vision that simple Jewish people saw at the Red Sea to this prophecy more than others? So let's see, what do we know about the prophecy of Yechezkel? When you open the book of Yechezkel in the first chapter, Yechezkel describes a vision that he had, a vision of what's going on up in Shamayim, a heavenly vision. And it's so beyond our comprehension that when we learn the book of Yechezkel, regular Jewish people who are not on the level of understanding the secrets of creation, we just read it because it's a chapter in Prophets, so we don't skip it, but we don't go into the explanations because it's way behind us, way above us. So being that the sages want to say that the Jewish people had a very high level of prophecy at the splitting of the Red Sea, even simple Jewish people. So they compare it to Yechezkel. But this raises a question. And this is the following. There was another prophet that saw what happened in Shamayim. And this was Yeshayahu. In the sixth chapter in Yeshayahu, Isaiah, right? The sixth chapter, there is also a description of a revelation, a heavenly revelation that Yeshayahu saw. But when we compare the verses in Yeshayahu and Yechezkel, in Yechezkel it's much more elaborated than in Yeshayahu. So on the superficial level, we would think that Yechezkel is greater than Yeshayahu. We saw more than Yeshayahu. But our sages tell us it's the opposite. Yeshayahu is greater than Yechezkel. And it's based on different observations. So why is it so elaborated by Yechezkel? And why is it so short by Yeshayahu? So they compare it to two people who come to the palace of the king. One, after the visit, discusses it in length and describes all the details and talks and talks and talks. And the other person just says very briefly what he saw there. And they say, the one who speaks briefly is a person who lives in the town of the king and sees him often. And as a result of it, he doesn't find it necessary to describe in so much detail. He's used to it. Yechezkel was like the first time coming from a small little village to the metropolitan. He sees the palace, he sees the king. It's overwhelming. And that's why he describes it in such length. So if this is the case, and we want to say that the Jewish people at the splitting of the Red Sea saw a vision that is way above anything that took place before, we should have compared it to Yeshayah. Why do we compare it to Yechezkel? So we have to take another look at the two behaviors of Hashem. The one that is called Chesed Shel Vitu, acts of kindness that comes from giving up. You don't live up to the expectations. I need your existence because of what will come from you. So I'm providing you for the time being. To another way of behavior of Hashem towards people that started with Abraham and continues with the Jewish nation till today, that is called Chesed Shel Mishpat. Hashem gives, but based on how worthy we are. And I'm speaking now about the nation as a whole, not about individuals. But as a nation, the whole Jewish nation is provided with a lot when we do what we need to do. And Hashem doesn't provide or even punishes when we don't. And that's a sign of our greatness and indicates an unbelievable relationship. Why? Because while the first relationship, the chesed of vitur, the acts of kindness that comes because of giving up in terms of the relationship, it's not very meaningful. Yes, I give you, but don't come to me. Leave me alone. I'm not happy with you. But for whatever reason, I decide to provide for you. The other one is, let's see what you do. I desire so much that you will do what I do so I can provide for you and give you more and more and more. And when you do, I'm so happy to give you. It's a totally different relationship. Because it's the difference between giving charity or hiring you to work for me and paying you according to what you achieve. Which is a better relationship? Imagine Rothschild giving charity to some people or taking a person that has nothing and telling him, I hire you, and if you perform, I'll make you like me, as rich as I am. Unbelievable. That's our relationship with Hashem. And this started with Abraham and came to completion at the time of the splitting of the Red Sea. And this is the essence of coming out of Mitzrayim. It's not that we were freed from slavery. Yes, this happened too, but this is not the main thing, because many times we are slaves even today. Right? The people who are in the tunnels in Gaza are slaves today too. The physical has ups and downs. One day it will come to be on the physical level fully and completely as well. But at the time that we work on it, there are ups and downs. But the relationship is there all along. The desire to give that Hashem has towards us, and the desire that we will do the right thing, is so big by Hashem. And when we desire to emulate Him, the desire itself is the relationship. When I do a mitzvah, let's say I keep Shabbat, and I also desire to keep Shabbat. So the desire is one thing, and the keeping of the mitzvah is another thing. One can keep Shabbat without a desire. It's two separate things. But when I emulate Hashem, and I have a desire to emulate Him, the very desire to emulate Him is emulating Him, because He desires to emulate us. It's a very, very profound and beautiful idea. The class is based on an article by Harv Huttner, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin in Flatbush, right, in his book Pachat Yitzchak. It's such a beautiful piece of information that we are given, and it's a reality that Hashem is, so to speak, waiting for us to emulate Him so He can give us. And when we emulate Him, we become like Him. And the more we become like Him, the more connected we are to Him. That's why our sages compare revelation at the splitting of the Red Sea to Yechezkel. Because when Yechezkel describes what he saw in heavens, he describes the heavenly chariot. And obviously we understand very little of it. But we do know that he saw, as part of the chariot of Hashem up there, three animals, and I won't go into it, and an image of a human being. And this image of the human being symbolizes the relationship between Hashem and us, because the highest that we can come is to come to be under the chariot of Hashem. And there is an image of man to tell us Hashem desires to connect to us the same way that we desire to emulate Him. And that's a very, very special relationship. Now we can understand why, when Hashem says, I cannot destroy Sodom without telling Abraham. Why? Because a big nation is coming from Abraham, who is going to follow in the footsteps of Abraham, of himself. And what are the footsteps of Abraham? What did he do? He desired to connect to Hashem. And Hashem desires to connect to him. And this makes him the father of the Jewish nation, because this is the essence of being Jewish. The essence of being Jewish is that we are the nations that Hashem looks at all the time. Desires that we will do the right thing so He can emulate us and bestow upon us a relationship that is the greatest thing that one can have. That's the specialty of coming out of Mitzrayim. And this makes Abraham a father, because he created a nation like this, that to them, to us, the most important thing is to cling to Hashem, to be close to Him. And it is expressed in a beautiful way in the song that was said at the Red Sea. The Jewish people said, Ze keli ve'anzehu. This is my God. They saw Hashem, as we said before, they had a revelation. They saw Hashem. And they came to the conclusion. What did they say? Ve'anzehu. What does it mean, ve'anzehu? The verb ve'anzehu is a verb in the future. Vav is end. Aleph is I will, like Eshmor, Echtov, the future. When I express a verb in the future, it starts with an Aleph. Okay? So every Jew said, and I saw Hashem, and I will do what? Nun Vav He is the root that comes after. Naveh. Naveh is a house, a place of dwelling. So the Jewish people said, I see Hashem, and all I want is to make a place of dwelling for Hashem. Meaning, in other words, I want Hashem to be with me. What is the purpose of creation? And I value this relationship of closeness where Hashem is with me so that as difficult as our history is, we are very proud and we are very happy to be the chosen nation. Now, our sages interpret the word ve'anzehu in another way too. And it's so beautiful. Ve'anzehu is a combination of two words. An ve'hu. It's ani ve'hu. Me and him. Meaning, I desire to make a place of dwelling for him. And what will be this place of dwelling? It will be me and him together. We work together to bring the world to purpose. The purpose is this close relationship. And Hashem has a desire to emulate us. And we have a desire to emulate him and to cling and connect to each other. That's the specialty of Pesach. And 49 days later, it was fully completed when the Jewish people received the Torah and Hashem revealed himself to them again. And this continues from there till today. And each time when we celebrate Pesach, we are trying to follow in the way of Hashem, in the ways of Hashem, v'shamru derech Hashem, to follow the derech Hashem and get closer and closer to Hashem. And hopefully our Pesachs are like a spiral, where each year we become more like one, ani vehu, in the same dwelling place. And hopefully soon we'll be able to be together in the dwelling place of Hashem with the building of the Beit HaMikdash and be one with him. Okay, I'll open for questions and observations.
Before we open for questions, I just want to announce this class was Le'ilu Nishmas Zelda Chaya Basvi Yehuda Halevi.
Thank you, Esther.
Questions? Welcome. You should be able to unmute yourselves.
Go ahead, Sari.
Oh, you heard me? Okay.
Now I do.
I feel bad to ask this question. No, it was very, very beautiful. From the beginning, I was wondering where everything was going. But I agree with you. It's a very, very beautiful thing. I just, I'm just thinking that it doesn't look like compassion, what's going on right now with the hostages and everything. So I know, right, in theory, Hashem creates, who deals with us with compassion. But when you see what's going on, not just now, but always in history, how are we supposed to see that as compassion that Hashem's creating?
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's a very valid question and a good question. Okay. Our trust in Hashem is such that it goes beyond logic. We have difficult experiences with Hashem, but we also at times saw him and saw where it's leading and understood things that we can't just with logic. And we trust him. We describe our relationship to Hashem as an infant who is held by a parent. And the parent does something that feels painful. Still, while being held by the parent, the infant feels safe, not without pain. It might be very difficult, but there is a trust. And the child does not desire, so to speak, the infant, right, to sever the relationship with the parent. And it's in her, right? It's not a decision, but that's the nature. That's what we call faith. And it's the test of life. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult. And we are permitted to ask that it will end. And to say that it's difficult, and maybe even too difficult, it's hard for us to go through it, it's okay. When a parent does something to his child for his benefit, but it's very painful, the child has the right to kick. It's normal. We can scream. It's okay. As long as we know that it's coming from a loving father, and that's faith. And one day we'll see how it was good. We cannot see it now. Now all we see is pain that we want should end. We have some ways that we are called to act in order to make it end. And we hope we'll be successful in our accumulated effort through prayer, charity, doing for other people, whatever it is that we do to bring an end to it. And it's okay to want an end. At the same time, we know it's a loving father behind it. And we get some insight into it, some glimpse while we go through it with all the miracles that happen at the same time. So the miracles don't take away the pain, but they tell us who is behind. It's like Hashem telling us, I know it's painful. I know it's horrible. I know it's difficult for a human being to go through it. It's all true. But one day you'll understand and see why I did it. I just am telling you I love you. And it's our job to believe in it. It's not easy. But that's the call that difficult times in our history, you know, that we have to listen to. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so let's end with positive. On Pesach, we were redeemed from Egypt, and we are told that we'll be redeemed in Nisan. We are soon entering the month of Nisan, and we hope that all that the Jewish nation invested since Abraham till today will already bring the ultimate redemption and will be one with Hashem and all the difficulties that we went through on the way, that we have been going through on the way, will disappear, and everybody will see that Hashem is one, and there will be no more suffering for the Jewish people. Okay, this is our last class before Pesach. We'll see each other in Yirtzeh Hashem after Pesach. Have a happy and kosher Pesach, and the whole Jewish nation should have a happy and kosher Pesach.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and
kosher v'sameach
yourself.
To you too.
And
כשר ושמח.